That mess up, that mess up could go on for days because we live in a culture that is saturated with talking about money. Now, in the church, we go to one of two extremes, it seems. We either don't talk about it enough, unless it's stewardship campaign or the offering, or we talk about it way too much, and that seems to be the focus of things. That's odd, because John Wesley, who was one of the founders of the Methodists, what did he say? He said, earn all you can, save all you can, give away as much as you can, as long as you can. That was a constant emphasis of his. But if we go back to the original founder of the church, Jesus, the number one thing he taught about was the kingdom of God. The number two thing that he mentioned is money. So what's our relationship with money as Christians? It's an important part of our discipleship. This is our half-truth series. And the half-truth we're testing today is money is the root of all evil. Have you heard that? Have you heard that recently? Sure. Follow the money. We hear that whenever anyone's being investigated. I don't know if I can tell you at this moment if money is the root of all evil, but it sure seems to hang around with it. It's always there. I know a lobbyist to Lansing, and I was asking him about ethics and things like that. And I said, Jim, let's talk about tainted money. He said, oh, I got that. I said, oh, yeah? Okay, well, enlighten me. He said, the only problem with tainted money is there taint enough. Money, it saturates us. Our songs, commercials, they're there for one reason, to sell and get your money. The flip side of that, though, is another side of it, obviously. Mark Twain said, the lack of money is the root of all evil. When we think about inequality in our society and our world, and we compare ourselves to living standards of half the people on this planet at this moment, we're all rich, filthy rich, because half the world exists on $2 a day or less. We don't see that a lot here in Rochester, but it's a reality, and I think Christ calls us to think about that and hopefully do something about that. Do we have the right slides queued up? I don't know how Jesus and John Wesley did it, frankly. They did okay even without PowerPoint. We're going to give it a shot here. All right. Is money the root of all evil? How many of you would say yes? Wow, what an enlightened crowd. After years of theological study and contemplation, prayer, and looking at it every which way I can, I have an expert opinion for you. 40 years I've studied this, and the theological term that I have for you is... nope. Money is not the root of all evil. It hangs around it a lot, but it's not the root. So if that's the half-truth, what is the full truth? After all, a half-truth is still an untruth. We have to finish the thought. This scripture helps us with that. This is written to a young pastor from an older Paul at the end of his career and his life. And he's giving advice to a pastor in a fairly affluent church. And he says, for the love of money, The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. But you, Timothy, are a child of God, so run. Catch that? So run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Is Paul telling Timothy, sell all you have, live on by being a beggar, that money is evil for you? No, that's not what he's saying. But he's saying there's an inherent danger in the love of money that we'll talk about as we go here. Love of money is a powerful temptation. It causes people who lack money to do crazy things. It causes people who love money to do crazy things. You catch both sides of that. But is money bad or is it evil? Who has a dollar bill? I need an object lesson. Anyone have a dollar? I'll give it back. Maybe. Oh, this is a $10 bill. Woo! Okay. Is this evil? Some people might say it is. It says right on the back, in God we trust. I saw a sign in a little mom and pop shop that said, in God we trust, all others pay cash. Well, God's name is on here, so maybe it's not purely evil. This is paper. I could wad it up. I could rip it up. I won't. It's just paper. But what it represents, that's where it gets really interesting. Thank you. Money is neutral. It's a thing. It's paper. It's neutral. It is not good or bad in of itself. So let's make that clear. But the love of money is anything but neutral. Anything but that. I know a young executive that we both started out years ago as young executives, and he really caught fire with money. And the high life and all kinds of crazy stuff. And he burned through his family, but he kept on at it. His pursuit was status and money. Well, it turns out he burned through another family. Fire can heat your home or it can burn it down. Fire is neutral in of itself. Money is neutral, but the love of money, that's very different. That evil. Evil is not money. It's a condition of the heart. Let me say it again. Evil is a condition of the heart. A heart that is way out of whack. And Jesus had a better way. Here's that heart thing again. I'd like you to read this verse with me. It's so crucial. Right? Read with me if you would. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. I could look at your bank account, if I had a subpoena power maybe, and I could tell you where God fit in your life, at least give you some clues about that. It used to be the checkbook, but I had to update the analogy. We are people of heart, and we are parked between two worlds. We have the material world, and we have the eternal world. But they overlap. One is not independent of the other. We're parked there for a while. We need money to survive the material world. That is not bad or evil. But we also need other things for the eternal world, and money is not one of them. It says in Revelation that the streets are paved with gold. So, you know, money doesn't mean much there. It's a matter of the heart. Jesus elaborates. I said he taught a lot about this. These are just a couple of examples. Let's read this one together. You did a really good job. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." I always thought this was a good scripture to use against polygamy, but I've never dropped that into a wedding ceremony. Little low on the, slow on the uptake there. Jesus was really clear. It's not a wishy-washy thing. Either you love God and despise the world, so to speak, or you don't. There's no middle ground there, really. And Jesus was hammering on this. He was comparing and contrasting. That's really helpful for me, to compare and contrast. So we're going to do that. We're going to compare and contrast love of money, love of God, and see where it leads us. So, the love of money. First thing it does is it separates people. It separates us. It starts out small by separating. If you fly in airports, you see special promotions, say the Delta Skyline Club or premium membership or whatever it is. Our family was going somewhere and we were in the airport watching this, and they called the Delta people up first if they were part of the Skyline membership society. And there they had a rug and a belt, and they got to go first in boarding. But it cracked us up because they actually removed the belt, had people walk across the rug, and then put the belt back up, and the rest of us had to go to the side. Money did that. That's all it was. I mean, it maybe got them on the plane earlier, but woohoo, you got to walk across a rug. That was great. We still laugh about that. Money is neutral, but the love of money, it's very, very strong, its pull. It feels harmless when you start out, when you separate. But then it gets worse. Money separates and money corrupts. First it separates, then it corrupts. You start with the perks, and they seem harmless, but then you get to the infection level. Have you ever had a sore throat that you ignored too long and it turned into strep throat? I had this so many times as a 30-something adult that I had to have my tonsils taken out. I put it off and it turned into this massive infection. From one little thing to the next. So with money, you cut a corner, so what? You get a little perk. Nothing wrong with that. Here's the thing. Anything that takes the place of God in your life is inherently dangerous. Fire can heat a home or burn it down. And sadly, if you're separating and then corrupting, the more you do it, the easier it is. That's the path that you're on. It is rare that a very wealthy person also has compassion. That's not a value judgment of me. That's what Jesus said. Why? Because money, love of money, not money, but love of money, separates and it corrupts. An Ivy League lawyer went to Jesus one time, and he was a young partner in a prestigious law firm. He had everything going for him. And he said, "Rabbi, what do I do to be right with God?" And Jesus said, well, tell me what you've learned. And he quoted a few of the Ten Commandments. And Jesus said, you're on the right track. Now, give away your money to the poor. And the young Ivy League lawyer turned away sad because he loved money. That's what the scripture says. It's not the status, it's not the money that is the problem. It's the love of it that replaces God in your life. That is the problem. Because then it devours you. I've worked with a lot of very wealthy people through the years in fundraising and some other nonprofit pursuits. And are they all happy? No. If I were to ask them how much money is enough to these multi-millionaires, some of them, I think they'd have a hard time answering that. Because how much is enough? It's never enough. If your heart isn't parked in the right place between those two worlds. God's love is revealed in Jesus. And so what he says about it is really, really important for us to pay attention to. All right? So we have some pretty bad stuff going on. You can see the trail. This is the alternative that God's love provides. Instead of separating us, dividing us, it brings us together. It unites us. The early church is a great example of this. You can see it some in the New Testament. It was one of the very first institutions in world history that brought rich and poor together in the same place as equals. Think about that. Christianity did that. Why? Because the money wasn't the point. Love of God became the point. Not dividing, but adding. The reality of grace is that we are all loved equally by God. We are all equal in God's sight. Thank God for that. Rich, poor, anything in between. Loving God is the point. Not that money is bad. It's neutral, right? Loving God is different. The love of God cleanses us. Love of money corrupts us. It's like sickens versus heals. It's like get better from your sore throat or get very sick. Some of these very wealthy people that I've spoken with about generosity are just cold to the idea. And that's to their loss. But other people are generous way beyond what you would expect anyone to be. I know there have been times where someone has given a wealthy person has given a generous gift, and it means so much to them, they're crying. Not because they're giving up money they need. They wouldn't do that. But they love what we're doing with the money. We're parked between these two worlds, material, eternal. It's a matter of the heart. It cleanses us. And instead of devouring us, the love of money, the love of God empowers us. It gives us freedom like you will never experience any other way. It doesn't mean everybody has to go give away everything. That is not the point. Please don't hear that. But the love of God frees us to be fully human people. And it unites us. It heals us. It brings us together. It cleanses us and it empowers us. So, what's the right view of money for followers of Jesus? I could complicate it. I'm in management. I do that. But I'll make it simple because it is simple. Would you read this with me also? Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. Let's say that again. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. It's a matter of the heart. That is the point of this. That's what Jesus was saying, that money can lead you off the path. Love of money, that is. So, how? I'm going to give you 3 points to follow. In a culture of gimme, how do Christians treat money? There's a quote about God's rightful place in your life, in your heart. It says, there are many things in life that will capture your attention, but very few will capture your heart. These are the ones to pursue. These are the ones worth keeping. And they revolve around loving God and loving other people. So here's the first thing. Decide where God fits in your life. Sounds pretty simple, but we struggle with that. You've got to get the heart decision right before the other things follow along. You can be the most generous person there is and still not love God. You can do great good and not love God. And Jesus says, I'd rather you don't do all the good and love God and get things in the right order. God moves from being a convenient perk that you walk across the rug to something much more substantial in your life. Decide where God fits. It's like any other thing. Number 2, devote your money, time, talent to God. How much? 5%? 10%? That's what we think a tithe is. You give 10% of your income to God. Jesus said differently. He said 100%. Everything is God's. These two parallel worlds, material and eternal, they're both God's. It doesn't mean you give everything away. That would be stupid. But it's all under God's dominion. That's the point that he's getting to. It's clear to other people around you where your heart is. Is it clear to you? That's the question. And number 3, depend on your church community. We are the community of Jesus. We operate, first of all, by the grace of Jesus Christ. We don't deserve it, can't earn it, but it's there waiting for us. For the slightest turn toward Jesus. And at that point, God is ready to make some changes in the right direction for you. The community of Jesus has grace. It also follows the way of Jesus, the great commandment. The only new commandment Jesus gave out of all of his teachings was love one another. That's pretty simple. That's pretty clear. And you can't do that if something is taking God's rightful place in your life. And finally, the Spirit of Jesus, it permeates this community. We are blemished and imperfect. Let me be the first to admit that, because I'm at the head of the line. But we are under the umbrella of grace. And that makes it hopeful. That makes it better. And I need you. We need each other. Not dividing, bringing together. The community of Jesus is here to help us navigate those two worlds and understand how God works. Finally, let me say this. Jesus is a safe place to put your heart. When I wandered into a church at age 14 with no church background, the thing that got me to come back and give God a chance was the people loved me into it. I was really unlovable at that time. But they loved me into it, and it gave God a chance in my life. Love of God money, it's not evil. Love of God, that's for all of us. And that is the whole truth. Let's pray. Holy God, Jesus showed us so many things, and some of them, frankly, are kind of uncomfortable. Where our heart is, don't let anything take the place of God. Wow, that's a challenge. We need each other. Help us, in your grace, to learn to love ourselves and others into this new reality of freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.